Thank you for downloading this podcast from Talk Radio 702 and 567 Cape Talk. For more podcasts and more information on your number one news and talk station, please visit 702.co.za or capetalk.co.za.
I guess the important thing now is to find out more about what's happening down in the Eastern Cape. And it's nice to go down to the Eastern Cape for a change, down to Port Elizabeth.
Of course, because that's Tim's part of the world. And Tim's had his rant this morning, so that's it now.
He's quite content, no?
Absolutely.
But let's go down to Anton and find out more what's happening. Anton, good morning. A raptor expert, that sounds important. Do you talk to the birds?
Good morning, it's Arnold.
Arnold.
Yes. No, talk to the birds, not quite. I don't think the birds need talking to. I think it's the humans that need the talking to.
Arnold, tell us a little bit about raptors in the Eastern Cape. Are there a fair number of different raptors? Are there good owl populations?
Okay, what has happened over the years is some of the species of raptors in the Eastern Cape have recovered quite dramatically from previous persecutions, and that. And I talk about the big eagles. Our big eagle population has increased beautifully. We have more peregrine falcons than ever in the urban areas. But unfortunately, our owl population has taken a massive hammering from secondary poisoning from rodenticides.
When the rodenticides, first of all, why on earth are we needing to use them? Is this a case of rodents out of control, and what species?
Okay, oops. And Arnold, sorry, before you answer that, this is Koresha. Can you please turn off your radio?
I haven't got a radio on.
Well, no, feedback.
It's a feedback. We might have to call back on this. Let's just see how the line goes. Arnold, back to the rodents. Out of control, any idea why? What's happened to them?
Okay, you know, the big thing is that worldwide rodent populations, and when I say rodents, I refer to exotic rodents, basically your house rats, your brown rats, your house mice, are on the increase. And what causes a massive increase in a rodent population is poor waste management. Obviously, all animals have three basic requirements: food, water, and shelter. And if any particularly food is available in large quantities, it's very difficult to eliminate shelter and water for rodents, but large amounts of food easily available, they breed at a remarkable rate, and then you sit with a rodent problem. But, I mean, it's nothing new. There's rodent problems all over the world, from the biggest cities in the world, New York, all of them have massive rodent problems. So it's not really linked to that. What it's more linked to is the fact that people are very indiscriminate in their use of pesticides and poisons. And it is a human thing that we like to go the easy route. We don't want to put in any effort. We actually don't like to acknowledge the fact that maybe we don't manage our waste carefully enough. So as a result, what we do is, to counteract the rodents, we put on vast quantities of poison.
You mentioned that word secondary poisoning. How do we get into secondary poisoning?
Okay. Rodents, in particular your house rats and that, have developed immunity to the various rodenticides originally used. So they have to use much stronger rodenticides nowadays to control the rodents. And they continually strengthen them because it's amazing the immunity that's built up. In fact, they say that since the original warfarins were developed, they're now 100 times stronger, to give you an idea. And the rodents are still developing immunity to them. But what happens is they eat these rodenticides, and then basically they become toxic little packages, and they wander around and they get caught by predators. Now, when I say predators, it's not only owls. It's a whole host. In fact, basically anything that will prey on rodents, pick them up, and they then suffer a secondary poisoning. In other words, it's not deliberate targeted poisoning. It's a secondary poisoning because they have eaten something that has eaten poison.
So really what one can say here is that somebody's household cat is exactly the same sort of problem.
Well, a lot of household pets do get poisoned by rodenticides. But the thing that I always find very interesting is this is not only happening in Port Elizabeth. It's happening in every city in the country. It's happening right throughout the world. Now, I have always looked at it as, okay, the owls get killed. But with some of the other rodenticides in use, the owls actually don't get killed. They absorb a certain level of rodenticide. Now, theoretically, because the rodenticide doesn't kill them, you could argue, okay, well, that could be a safe rodenticide to use. But the latest research is starting to indicate that even those rodenticides that don't kill the birds outright impair the birds' functions. Now, there are a couple of functions that can be repaired, particularly motor functions. In other words, it doesn't fly as well. So it's more susceptible to getting hit by motor cars. Impairs breeding function. The birds aren't as fertile, the eggshells are too thin, etc., etc. So what has effectively happened is rodenticides are becoming the world's new DDT.
Kind of concerning, because you've still got to stop the rodents, and now the very stoppage point is becoming an issue.
You know, do you regard rodenticides as a stopping point? No, rodenticides aren't a stopping point. It's our mentality. When you see a couple of flies in the house, what do? You grab a can of doom.
Not in my house.
Well, a lot of people do. I like to think of it as a doom mentality, because we don't say, well, why are there flies in the house? We don't say, well, you know, our waste has been standing out for 3 weeks, we haven't got rid of it, or our bins are empty. We don't look at that. We just quickly grab a bit of something and try and sort the problem out. If you want to solve rodent problem, you have to look at your waste management. If you cut out and do your waste management effectively, you keep your waste in sealed bins so they can't get into it. If they can't feed, they can't survive.
Let's take a little step back here, and I think we may just have to call you back for a moment, Arnold, because we've got quite a bad line. So we're going to come back to you in a few minutes, if you don't mind, and if you can sort of turn around left and right and see whether we can pick up a better line as well.
For some reason, we're getting feedback. You don't have a radio on, obviously.
And we're only getting feedback on our microphones.
We're getting feedback, but they don't get us in the Eastern Cape, so you shouldn't have a radio on. Maybe the DSTV. I don't know.
It's there. Obviously, we have a line issue.
We'll try. We'll try to get him back again. But also, just to remind you, just after we've spoken a little bit longer with Arnold, we will be opening the lines for all of your questions and queries that you want to ask Tim Neary. He's here till 7 o'clock. So we'll open the lines for any questions about animals, birds, environment, conservation, air law.
Air law.
Whatever it is. It just sounds
that,
so
that
weird.
That sounds a little bit strange saying that.
It does. Air law sounds
but
really
I think
strange.
We're about to go back to Arnold after the...
We're going
to
go back to Arnold. I have got an SMS here, Arnold, which is quite interesting. It says, it's from Ferdinand. It says, Q, another problem is corn that has been dropped by trucks on the roads. The rats eat the corn on the roads. The owls eat the rats and get killed by cars.
Yeah, it's one of the issues they do have. I think it's on that Secunda Road. And there you'll see they've put up the owl poles to the one side and try and keep the verges short so that the owls move off of the road. And it seems to be working for them. And there are a lot of programs being undertaken on roadkill. But let's go back
to the
Arnold
issue
and find out more. Arnold, one of the issues I have with the poison that you're talking about here, I understand the source being the start of the waste management issue. But if we go into a normal household in let's just take Johannesburg and even the Eastern Cape, once the rats have got a hold on the home, there is a huge issue because they move into the ceiling. Doesn't matter what you do, they're into the garden, they're into the ceiling. If you've got bird feeders, you might have a problem there. And then, of course, they're into all your electrical cables and your dishwasher pipe. And before you know what's happening, you've got a wee flood running through your house.
Okay, very good point. You actually answered the point you made by saying, and bird feeders, there's another classic example. Go back to what I said. They can't survive without food. What you have to do is cut the food in your direct environment. Let me give you a classic example. You've mentioned it, bird feeders, compost heaps, dog's food. Dog pellets are prime food. Do you know that rodents subsist to a large degree on dog feces in the urban environment? So if you don't clean up your yard every single day, and you have dog feces lying around, the rodents feed on that. If you leave a big bowl of dog food standing up, not only do the pigeons come and eat those dog pellets, but the rodents feed on it. It's about managing the way that we live, because if food is not accessible to them, they can't live in your roof. The roof is but a place they use to forage from. If they can't get the food, they can't live in your roof. It's as simple as that. I also live in town. I have a house. I have a lot of animals, and I don't have a single rodent problem. Because I make sure that there is nothing available to those rodents to get hold of.
Well, I'd love you to come and live in Johannesburg and do exactly the same here, and let's see, because I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but there are practicalities that have got to be overcome.
You know, the thing is, I have to deal with all of those practicalities because, I mean, I deal with big corporations with exactly the same problem. At the end of the day, I can prove my point 1,000 times over. Cut the food and the animals will...
I hear you cut stuff. The food and the animals take off, but there are the practicalities of people in their homes that have, they do have bird feeders, and how do we get on complete control of the rodent so that one can go back to some form of normality? Or are you saying that we shouldn't have dogs, we shouldn't have bird feeders, and we need to clear that out completely?
What I'm saying is that if you have a bird feeder, you should rodent-proof it. In other words, rodents shouldn't be able to get up onto in the bird feeder and get hold of the food there. You know, there was a beautiful photograph in our local newspaper a couple of months ago of a rat feeding on a bird feeder. And it was kind of a cute photograph, you know, the big rat sitting there eyeing, making sure nobody's around, having a good feed in the bird feeder. But it was also exactly what we're talking about now. Food was easily accessible. The same person a month's time will say, oh, the rat's running all over my roof. What can I do? The second thing is, why is rodenticide the only answer? What happened to rat traps? Rat traps are highly effective if used properly. Why don't people use rat traps?
I think it's kind of interesting with the different forms. I mean, we went through the process of using rat traps, which they learned very quickly about the rat trap. We then went to food in the rat trap, which required you had to then dispose of the rat. And that brings up yet another issue, because as much as you want it, you suddenly get people phoning the program and coming in and saying, okay, we've now got a box of live rats. What do we do with them? So it becomes one knock on after the other. But let's find out more from, there's an interesting comment about a smell.
Yes, this is Lynn in Boksburg, Arnold. She's called in. Hi, Lynn. Good morning.
Good morning. I work in the retail trade, and I do work in the evenings, and I heard these huge things running around in the ceiling. Every evening, you're accompanied by the sound of them going, like they sound like huge cats upstairs. Mm. And someone gave us a tip of putting paraffin up there. And believe me, I haven't heard them. Now, I'm not sure how you do the paraffin, but it's got to be up there. And I suppose like an air freshener. I don't think you want an open tray with paraffin that can be spilt, or, but they must smell that paraffin. I haven't heard them again.
Interesting. Oh, Arnold, have you ever found any rats in the Eastern Cape not liking paraffin?
You know, I've never tried paraffin, but there are a number of various remedies. Peppermint, they definitely don't like the smell of. Any form of peppermint, they're not too keen on.
Right.
You know, there are things that definitely repel rats. There's no mistaking that. And some natural substances as well. You know, to get back to the whole thing, if you have rats in your roof, right, it's roof or house rats, they're extremely arboreal, they're good climbers. But a way of preventing that is also sealing off your roof. And you can quickly identify where the rodents are coming into the roof. You can see the areas, you find the holes, and you block those holes up and prevent that access as well. So prevention of access to the roof is another way of starting to stop potential rodent problems in your roof.
How do we attack the core issue, though, where it's great to turn around and say, that we can do as a homeowner? How do we attack what is predominantly municipal issues and corporate issues? Because there, as you will no doubt agree, you've got huge issues with waste not being collected. I know what happened in Johannesburg. Every time our pick-it-up has a wobble, we end up with rats in bins. So sort of advice there, how do you start approaching that Port Elizabeth municipality and saying to them, guys, clean your act up?
Well, to a large degree, they are cleaning the act up. I really can't fault them in a lot of areas. You know, the sad thing is it boils back to the human animal, and you just get so much dumping of refuse, which does counter good efforts by the municipality to control their waste. The second thing is corporates. Corporates can be forced to control their waste effectively, and I deal with corporates again, and I can get them to effectively control their waste and look at it. But yes, it does become a problem if you have a very poor waste management system. And unfortunately, it can be negated. But that still doesn't say just use poison willy-nilly. There are ways around everything. And if you have a lot of predators and you have waste in open areas, at least the predators can get to those rodents. If you have no predators left, then you do have a problem.
Okay, let's take a call from Dennis in Seraldine. Hi, Dennis. Good morning.
You know, I'm a bit in catch 22. They're eating my vegetables now. Do I stop growing vegetables or how?
Okay, somebody's got a radio on.
Dennis, I think you're not too sure whether you might have a radio in the background.
My radio's off.
Okay.
You were saying we couldn't really hear you about rats eating vegetables, Dennis?
Yeah, no, they eat my vegetables. Does that mean I've got to stop growing vegetables or how do I deal with the situation?
Okay, I've got okay, there. So, Arnold, what we're looking at there is Dennis is growing rats. I mean, growing vegetables, which are growing rats, coming in obviously to eat the lettuce, etc. They're eating all the growing tips. How would one attack that in the open area? Is there a way of doing it?
Okay, it's a little bit difficult to answer something if you have no idea of the background. What area? Is it a residential
area? It'll
be
residential. Many of us are growing. We've got veggies growing in the back garden, and besides encasing those veggies, what does one do to them?
Okay, well, you're not really going to effectively fence out rodents. You'd have to use very small wire, bury it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's not going to work that effectively. Basically, if an animal is foraging like that, it means that quite happily sitting in the open eating vegetables, it means that there's no form of predation that he's threatened by. If he was threatened by predation, and that's one of the things, if you have some sort of predator, be it a Jack Russell Terrier, be it a cat or something like that, some form of predator that keeps them from feeding that easily, that also helps. But then you have to go back and identify where are the rodents coming from. And
okay.
Try and stop them coming in from where they come. Are they living in your roof and feeding in your garden? What vegetables do they like eating? Can I plant something else that they're not going to eat? It's more than likely that they would go for pumpkins and things like that. You know, there are vegetables you can plant that they're not going to eat.
Dennis, I think one of the items to have a look at is to make sure that not only yourself, but try and talk to your neighbors as well, because quite often I find the bigger rat issue comes from your next door neighbor. And that has to be addressed. I do know that I have seen guys make up shade cloth covers, which also help, but it is an issue. You've got to get off of wherever possible. One's got to get off of the poisons. Let's chat to Craig and find out the use of pesticides. Craig.
Yes, hi, good morning. Good morning to you. Thanks very much for a very interesting program and discussion. I certainly firstly have noticed an increase in the rat population over the last few years. I live in Pretoria, and I've seen that. Certainly a lot more have got into my garage, and I've had to use sort of what I find on the shelves, you know, to bring the numbers down because they're extremely destructive. But I'd read an article some years ago, and whenever I buy this stuff, I always wonder where one would obtain this particular product. And apparently what it consisted of was the pellets themselves were organic in nature, but they created a gas inside the rodent when it consumed the bait, if you like. And what would then happen was essentially it would just blow up, you know, it just become larger and larger due to this enormous production of whatever it is, the reaction, you know, which would create the gas. And if an owl or a raptor happened to take the particular rodent, it wouldn't suffer any consequences because the rodent essentially died, if you like, in inverted commas, from natural causes and not from the use of a very toxic poison. And I don't know whether you're aware of that. I know I read it with great fascination, but I've never seen the product on the shelves because that could also go a long way if people started becoming sensitized to using that. You at least would know that the, as you call it, the toxic package out there wouldn't be toxic in nature. The animal would die from a reaction inside it. And then that would also mean that the raptors would be safe.
Thanks very much, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Arnold, have you come across this at all with a sort of semi-exploding rat?
Well, yes. It's a cellulose bait, and what effectively it does is it causes a blockage in the rodent's gut, and the rodent just poisons itself. Unfortunately, one manufacturer in the country stopped. In England, there is a big manufacturer of those type of baits, and yes, they are effectively the answer where you only have exotic rodents that you want to get rid of.
Is it not inhumane, Arnold?
you know, a lot of people, well, let me throw this back at you. Is poison not in your mind? No, I take the point
with poisoning. I'm not saying that we should poison. I'm just asking about just the sound, the thought of a rat blowing itself up. It just sounds so horrible.
It doesn't actually blow up. Yeah. It just basically fades away. It's the same as it would with a lot of other things. But no, I don't regard that as inhumane, and you have to look at the big picture, what you're trying to achieve. What we're basically trying to achieve is to protect our predators, right? Encourage our predators so they can do a better job. And that's what we want to do. So, yeah, you know, ends do get justified. Means justify ends justify means, whatever way you want to look at it.
Okay. Have you come across one of the old-fashioned ones, which I was told many years ago, two ways. One was a bit of sunflower seed on the top of a drum of water, which they jump in and drown. And the other one was using cement powder and bird food put out into a barn. And apparently the rats kind of turn themselves into bricks.
Oh, goodness.
That definitely is very much in use. You can use polyfiller, 50% polyfiller and millimil as well.
You're kidding, Arnold. You really can. And they just get heavy and kind of, what, full of cement or polyfiller?
Well, basically, as soon as it gets water mixed with water, then it hardens. So in the rodent's digestive system, it just hardens up, blocks it. The same as those cellulose baits do, effectively. A lot of people try home remedies, and I support that all the way. Anything to get poison out of the system.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think that's where we're going to is, you know, as you say, rat-proof your bird feeders, but there are all sorts of other ways. And, you know, as much as people might say cute little rats, and hell, they are great to watch.
Mm-mm.
But once you've got a brand new dishwasher in your house and replacing your kitchen cupboards, it's a different kettle of fish.
It's a different kettle of fish. Let's go to Napier. Hi, Eddie. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. A wonderful show. I just wanted to tell you guys that this product is called Rackium.
Rackium.
And it's environmentally friendly.
R-A-C-I-U-M.
Yeah, Rackium, yes, and that is for the rats as well. And I've heard this story about cement. I've actually used it where you put cement down and water, and then the rats eat it, and they become rat blocks.
Okay.
Rat blocks.
Honestly, it works. But really, another suggestion: get Dr. Gerard Verdroen or Professor Verdroen.
Yes,
he's the poison expert here in South Africa, and I think you need him on your show to talk to you about poisons and what is the environmentally friendly poisons that you can use.
Thank you, Eddie, we're going to try
and get hold of Gerard as well, because there are a lot of things to talk to him about. How do you get rid of poisons that you've got in your garage, which you've wanted to use in your garden and now realize that you don't have to? Obviously, Arnold, there are a lot of different ways and a lot of different items to look at with the rats. Is there an association that you guys work, anti-rat guys, across the country? Because I see some of the adverts in our newspapers, and as you say, that, you know, the product that kills all known insects, etc., dead, it just simply rubs me up the wrong way.
Well, I think you're right to be rubbed up the wrong way. If you look at the statistics, Americans are using about 3.5 billion kilograms of pesticide every single year. Now, if you consider that out of the hundreds of thousands of insects on this planet, literally only 1% are regarded as pests, and what we're throwing at them, we go back to some very profound statements made in the 60s already by people that were then worried about the use of DDT. Now, if you look at the bigger picture, by the time a child in a first world country is 5 years of age, he has been exposed already to over 5,000 different pesticides. And when you start looking at those figures and you start looking at the increase in cancers and all of that kind of stuff, a lot of which are linked and scientifically linked, not just guesswork linked, but are linked to the use of pesticide. And if you work in the environment that I've worked in all my working life, and you have friends who farm and you go to the orchards, and when they spray when the trees bud, and every single bird, including the poultry at the labourers' houses, die, you do start to ask serious questions.
Yeah. Yep, you certainly do. Arnold, just one very, very quick call from Megan. Megan, can you be 30 seconds?
Absolutely. We used to live on a farm, and this cat took up residence in our kitchen and, amongst other things, kidnapped his cell phone and chewed it to bits. And we discovered something that really didn't work to get rid of a rat, and that was tear gas. In fact, we gassed ourselves out of the house in the middle of winter rather than the rat.
Thank you, Megan.
I just got to see the rat laughing, looking in this lot at me, dumbass humans again.
Cheers, Megan. Thank you for making us chuckle. But Arnold, we've been talking to Arnold Slabbert, the raptor expert. Basically, find every other way to get rid of rats, but don't use poison.
Arnold, people want to get hold of you. 10 seconds. How do they do that?
They can email me, Wildline.
Right.
Okay, Wildline, WILDLINE.
Yeah.
At Yebo.
At Yebo, yeah.
.co.za.
Arnold, thank you very much for talking to us, and we'll chat to you again, I'm sure.
Pleasure.